Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSE Frontier Radio.
Kim Ebler and Terry Sullivan, thank you. Thank you for coming in. Welcome. You are co-directors and co-founders of Arts at Large, which is a not-for-profit that was created in 2001 in Milwaukee. Why'd you do it?
Oh, my goodness. Me? Why did we do it? Do you know, it started as a district program through Milwaukee Public Schools. At that time, Kim, who we affectionately call ourselves the left and right brains.
Right. So,
and Kim is the right brain. She is the...
Creating the chaos and you organize it, right?
Organizing it. Kim is the art curriculum specialist for the entire district. And
MPS district.
Yeah, MPS.
Great.
And she found this opportunity through the U.S. Department of Education to apply for a grant that tried to connect the community, the arts community, with schools to provide support to the schools and to the classroom.
Right.
And I was just leaving a position and starting my own consulting business, and we talked about how we might work together on this. And Kim successfully wrote the grant, and that's really what started it. So it started through the district, and it built over a period of time, and we became a nonprofit in 2005, and now we're serving 24 schools, 11,000 students, numerous teachers and artists in the community.
Amazing. And how is it connected to MPS? What is it exactly that Arts at Large does in the schools?
It's a program that looks at the academic needs and social needs of the students and the school. We work in a team approach, so we want to have parents involved, teachers, the administration. Each school creates their own unique program. It involves professional development for the teachers so that they're learning and growing right alongside of the students, that it can sustain beyond the three-year commitment that we make to a school. So it's a little bit more involved than just an artist in residency format.
Okay, right, right.
We provide direct service to students that would be in the form of artists in residencies, and then any kind of materials, equipment, technology that are going to help make that arts experience come to life. And we know that the schools don't have people on staff that are versed in grant writing. They don't have the time to do that. So Arts at Large can step up and sort of provide some of those services. We offer this at no cost to the school. We ask schools to apply. We want to make sure that they have buy-in and that they understand that it's a three-year commitment.
That they have buy-in.
That the staff really wants to work on an arts-integrated model, because what we're doing is building a bridge using the arts to connect to academic learning in the schools.
Okay.
And we ask the schools, what are your academic challenges and how can we work together to support that? So it's not a top-down model. It's not Arts at Large coming in and saying, you're going to do theater. We think you need dance. You're going to work with visual art. And the other thing is, it's Arts at Large, meaning all of the arts. So we don't dictate, even though my background is visual art and design,
right,
we actually work with more performing artists in the community, and that's because that's what the schools and the students are asking for. In some of the schools, the students actually are even involved on this team, and they have input in what they want for their own learning, which I think is really exciting.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. They're administering their own
program.
Their own education, their own program. That's great. And it's a three-year, the school makes a three-year commitment, so do you work with the same kids for 3 years all the way through?
Yes. We know that change takes place over time. And that to go in and only work for 1 year, what we've seen is it takes time for the teachers to make adjustments in their own teaching and for them to build confidence. We've also found that in working with the teachers that they may not have ever had positive arts experiences. And if they've never experienced theater and felt comfortable, it's not realistic for us to think that we're going to come in and overnight they're going to want to work with maybe an actor or a director or understand how to use that in the context of the classroom. So it's really about building relationships and partnerships, taking each school where they are and trying to build their capacity for integrating the arts. And that's why it takes a lot of work. Terry spends a lot of time and Ryan Hurley, who's our program coordinator, right, going into the schools, sitting down with them, listening, talking to them, and then trying to figure out what's going to work. Sometimes what we find works at one school, we can transfer that to another. but we want to really honor the school, their culture, and their climate.
Right, right.
And you know, there's one example, if I could just take one school and give you a sense of what might happen at a school. When Kim said that all of the programs are unique, they're all individual to the environment because the needs are different in every school. The
right.
climate is different in every school. At Hawley Environmental School, because they are an environmental school, of course, they wanted to take the arts and connect it to their curriculum.
Right.
So last year, we did this amazing project over there. Each of the classrooms decided that they wanted to adopt an endangered species. So they took their arts at large resources. Every classroom chose whether it was the platypus or the gray wolf or the polar bear.
Right.
And they adopted that, and they used some of their resources to adopt it from the World Wildlife Fund. So each of them gave $50 to the World Wildlife Fund. Now, as a part of that then, we brought in a sculptor, Steve Wirtz, who does papier-mâché sculptures, and they are larger than life. So even though one of the endangered species was a tree frog, which is only the size of my fingernail,
right.
he created a larger-than-life tree frog.
Right.
And each one of these now are mounted outside the door of the classroom so that the classroom is identified by those.
By that.
Yes. And at the same time, the movie Disney movie Earth came out.
Right.
So we decided, okay, let's send the entire school to see the movie Earth. We paid for the transportation. We paid for the admission fees. So it was a full comprehensive program all designed around endangered species.
Right.
And that's kind of the way that we work, whether we buy books that support a particular program for classroom sets of books or we buy art supplies that are going to support that particular program. It becomes a very comprehensive look of how to connect the arts to academic learning.
Right.
And the other thing that happened was because the kids were involved in endangered species, they did research, they used technology. We also hired an independent filmmaker who worked with children. They created their own independent film. They did interviews, they did research. They put together a film about the endangered,
about species,
endangered species and the responsibilities and our impact as humans on animals and what maybe we need to do or be aware of and how we can change our behaviors.
Right.
We worked with a theater artist and they did some original plays. There was poetry writing. So it really created this great energy that gave kids lots of real reasons to learn about, well, to use tools for learning. So they were reading, they were writing.
Right.
There might have been some mathematics. There was certainly a lot of science. But it wasn't just, here's a book, open the book, read this chapter that's not related to you, and then answer some questions.
Right. And it wasn't just an arts and crafts
Correct.
Discipline.
It was very
all connected
deeply connected.
To. So you're using arts in education to improve academic excellence.
Correct.
Which is, I think that there's a common perception that the arts are sending your son or your daughter to learn to play an instrument or to dance or to do a little play and da, 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 da. And when they become grown up, when I was a child, when I'm an adult, that's all gone. And that's a perception that's incorrect because the arts influence you in so many different ways. Besides just giving you the practical skills, as you say, there's a lot of science if you're talking about endangered species, why a species is going, what encroachment means and how we can forestall encroachment.
Mm-hmm. Now, music, I mean, well, there are so many studies that prove that by using the arts in the academic classroom, students are more motivated to learn and the academic achievement goes up. And so many musicians, I mean, if you get out into the IT world,
right,
and talk to a lot of programmers, you're going to find that many of them have music backgrounds. Because the logic is the same. And it works on the side of the brain that really gets them to become those creative thinkers and can actually do the programming. And so, you know, when we're talking, especially in this movement in Milwaukee, the Creativity Works
right.
by the Cultural Alliance, it is all about helping to motivate students to become creative thinkers, students who are going to participate and be in our creative economy and build this area and stay in Milwaukee.
Right. Don't run away to New York,
exactly.
Chicago, Los Angeles, all the hubs, but stay here because it's a nice place to live.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that this is the arts are part of the integral to the economy. I mean, and that's what Creativity Works Mount Auburn study did, the audit did, proves so clearly with numbers that that the arts are a bigger part than anybody would suspect of the economy. Now, how many students do you touch in a year?
Well, we're since I'm the numbers person, I'll step right up and say this year we'll be in full programs. And when we talk about a full program, that's the schools that apply to be a part of the Arts at Large program, and they're in the program for 3 years.
Right.
We'll be in between 20 and 24 schools this year, and we accept applications ongoing. And basically, right now we are the funding is coming from our local community. We also work with Milwaukee Public Schools. Obviously, Kim has secured some grants from the Department of Education that are supporting the program again. So so we'll be serving about 11,000 students, maybe 2,000 teachers this year. And last year, we contracted with artist educators in the community, about 120 artist educators. And so the bulk of the dollars that we have that are coming through Arts at Large are going back to feed the local economy, which is really very important.
Right. Yeah, no, that's great. It's all recycled. I was going to ask you about the artist educators. So the programs run with professional painters, professional sculptors going into the schools. How do they benefit?
Well, I think, first of all, financially, and
right.
we've heard from especially young artists that they were on the verge of leaving the city because they didn't feel that they could make a living.
Right.
And then once they heard about Arts at Large and started getting involved, that it really made a difference in them, their decision about staying in the area or maybe
right.
leaving and trying to go somewhere
right.
else.
I also think that by teaching what you do, you learn more about what you do.
I think that's absolutely true. And I think that the artists also can support each other. We found that artists that are more experienced see that they have something to offer and share. And so we've also been able to form some mentorship programs that maybe even young art students in the community can get connected with somebody who has experience and skills. There's a whole business side of this. Many times, and we affectionately call each other the left and the right brain. Thank God I'm not doing the business side, or there would be no Arts at Large, because I would have run it in the ground a long time ago. And many of our artists, they're creatives, and so their bookkeeping is on a cocktail napkin with, you know, maybe some notes,
right.
and
right.
that's their invoice. That doesn't translate really well into the business world, and in an educational setting as well, working with teachers, sometimes we have to work with our artists to try to make sure that we're all speaking the same language
right.
and that we have shared expectations.
So you know, you've talked about your funding. So Milwaukee Public Schools doesn't pay you. But
it doesn't pay Arts at Large. My position is the art curriculum specialist, so I am employed by the Milwaukee Public Schools.
Right.
I don't profit from Arts at Large. I don't have a salary. I'm not an employee of Arts at Large. I'm an employee of the Milwaukee Public Schools.
Okay.
And when I started writing grants, I saw that we had this really rich, wonderful, diverse arts community, that we're very fortunate here,
right.
and that there should be a better way to organize that and to help make connections. Many times people would call me and say, I would love to do this, but they had no way of figuring out which schools that they wanted to work with or who might be open. And so a lot of my time was being spent almost like a matchmaker.
Mm.
And so I'd have to spend time listening to the arts organization or the individual artist. Sometimes they even had funding and grants that they had received. And now the challenge was, well, I don't know who I'm going to work with. I have this money. I have this idea. I have a program. Who would like to work with me? And it seemed to me that maybe we should start on the front end with finding schools that are open to this, and even that the schools should have input in what the program looks
right.
like.
Right.
Because sometimes if it's totally coming from the outside, it's sort of put on top of the structure.
Just laid over.
And it's difficult, or the buy-in isn't there. Then it becomes the program of the arts organization or the individual artist.
Well, and it gets into the fabric and the fiber of the students themselves so much more if they're part of the originating process. So many kids go to school and much of going to school is you go, you sit in a chair.
Right. It's done to you.
Right.
And we did not want to create a program
right.
that the teachers or anybody else that we were working
right.
with. We wanted parents to feel that they have a stake and a voice, the teachers and certainly the students.
Well, now, as the state and the federal government cuts funding to the arts, as they are constantly doing. It's the first thing to go. You struggle?
Yes. I would say, honestly, I think that we struggle at a local level. We struggle at a state level. And we struggle at a national level. We have friends and colleagues across the state and other organizations like us that we've met along the way, you know, nationally. And so everybody's trying to figure out ways to be strategic with the resources that are out there, right, make sure that we're making really good decisions, and how to impact people in a way that it's going to be deep and with quality.
Right.
Well, and I think we're really proud of the Milwaukee community, because the Milwaukee funding community has really stepped up to the plate in order to assist Arts at Large in providing these services to Milwaukee Public Schools. And from the start, we have never been an organization that has been there to replace the art and or music specialists within the schools. We are there to support that and to advocate for that. And so for the first few years that we were operating, there were art and music specialists in every one of the schools. And then with decentralization, when the schools were able to make their own decisions and the budget started to be cut back, the art and music specialists started to go away. So our job was to come in and build back that program in the school so that the administrators would then bring back in and reinstate those specialists, which we were very successful at. Well, in this challenging economic time, it is tough to, you know, to even make those programs sustainable without the support of both the district and the community. And that is really coming together now. We are so hopeful in this new administration with Milwaukee Public Schools, right, because I believe that they're looking at things in a light of equity for every student, and arts would be a part of that equity. And right, so we're, as an organization, we're here to advocate for the specialists to be in the schools to sustain the programs, and we're here to complement that.
Right. And you do think that the new administration, I don't mean at the governor's office necessarily, but Milwaukee Public Schools,
right,
does understand how integral it is to the economy?
I think it's not even an economic issue. I think it's a moral and ethical issue.
It is. I think you're right. It is.
And I think
definitely
that's how they see it. I think that it's about equal education for all children, and
right,
that we shouldn't have some children that get this amazing education with all these different opportunities and experiences and then go, you know, a short distance and go into another school and there's absolutely no art, no music, right, no physical education, no library media specialist, no technology, on down
true
the list.
I understand. When I say as part of the economy, I do think that, as we said earlier, that the perception of the arts as being sort of a distraction or frivolous or something that is a drain on the economy rather than it goes back into the economy. And the wonderful thing that Creativity Works did, the Cultural Alliance program, shows in numbers is that it's very, very much a part of the economy. So, and I think politicians tend to think in terms of, and especially now you hear them run for office anyway, about I'm going to create jobs. So the economy is, it's all about the economy now. So I think it's important that people understand that the arts education does function as part of the economy, that it does support the economy rather than drain it.
Well, if you look around you, I mean, if we all look around us, there's an art element in everything that happens on a daily basis.
Right.
And what we do as an organization is try to identify those different types of areas that we can focus on that are going to build the skills of the students and the teachers to participate in the creative economy. So, for instance, multimedia is a huge part of what the schools are desiring, the students are desiring, and what the economy itself needs.
Right.
So we're focusing a lot of our efforts on teaching teachers and students skills in multimedia. Every school that we go into, we provide a multimedia kit that's filled with flip video cameras,
right,
digital still cameras, microphones, voice recorders, everything that they need to learn how to either work in the communications field or become a filmmaker or a photographer or anything that they can do in the multimedia field to participate, learning how to interview on the radio is a big, but that's also a skill,
sure,
an artistic skill.
Thank
and
you.
So we're, yeah, there you go. And so we try to find those areas that we can build the skills in the students so that they can see the viable career opportunities within this community.
Right.
Architecture is a design. It's a design form. We work very closely with Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design on a lot of different projects that we're working on, just because we know that they provide a huge service to their students, and how can we collaborate with them to,
right,
to provide that same opportunity to the younger students, getting them to think about the careers that they can move on to.
Right, right. Is there anything else that I missed?
I think we just are very excited and would like to share that Arts at Large, as we grow and evolve, we've just moved into a new space, and we're going to be located on South 5th Street. And for the first time ever, we're going to have space that we can exhibit work. That's always been our dream, that synergy between the professional artist and what he or she might be doing and what our students would be doing. It's a big enough space, and we're keeping it very open. It's a beautiful Cream City brick building pre-Civil War,
right,
with big hardwood floors, and it's kind of a shotgun style, so it's big and open.
Right.
We can do theater performances. We hope to do dance performances. We hope to do film screenings. We have technology so that we can do trainings for teachers, parents, students, and our artists. And we're just about, we're going to be going before the Board of Zoning Appeals with our city to make sure that we get the correct zoning. But then once our doors are open, we're hoping that we'll have even a deeper connection with the community and provide many more services when we have a space to really help accommodate some of those experiences beyond just working in the schools, which is what we've been focused on to date.
Right. I was imagining that you worked out of an office about this size, probably. And just
worked out of our cars for many years. Honestly.
Did you really?
Oh, honestly, yeah. I mean, Kim, because she's a district employee, had an office at the district.
Yeah, right.
And I had a small office in my home, and we worked out of our cars, and we were in the schools all the time. And then as we grew and the demand for services grew, we had to hire someone, so we had to get an office. So we did have a small office for a while, and now we've always had this dream since the start that we would have a space where we could show the good work that's being
done.
Well,
that seems like a logical extension of the works that you've created, this place where they can be, they can stay for a while and be shared.
Yeah.
And do you know when the doors open?
Well, we hope so. We're actually still fighting through the dust a little bit.
Okay.
There's we now have bathrooms, so we're very happy about that.
Good.
But again, we do need to go through the process of the Board of Zoning Appeals, and once we get that final approval from them and all of the inspections have been done because they have been building it out, we expect that we might have our first exhibit sometime in April. We're hopeful.
Great.
In fact, one of our artists is a mosaic tile artist, and she's working with a number of students right now on a special project there, and we're hoping to be able to bring all of those pieces back and maybe make that one of our first exhibits. So,
great.
You know, we're out there talking to a lot of artists and teachers and students right now saying it's time to really find that good work to bring back to the new gallery.
Right. Now, it's so great that Arts at Large is so successful in a period of time that has been, you've been swimming upstream.
I think it almost shows the power of the arts.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you.